So we're going to continue our discussion of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Previously on Shir, right, we decided basically you have two types of definition for Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You have two ways that you can really decide. Can you guys hear me? Am I coming through to you at least?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So there are two definitions that we've seen in the Rishonim for Rosh Hashanah Yachid. On the one hand, it could be Dafka, the place that is, you know, separated off from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right, in which case you're almost saying that the default Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's, let's say, the Rambam's idea that it's some place that's open, right? Any place that's, you know, separated off from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is going to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And then, you know, it's the fact that it's separated off gives it its unique definite status. On the other hand, the like the Ritva says, and Aryeh suggested that it's, was Aryeh? I think it was Aryeh's suggestion that it's like the house, right? If you know, if you build a house, so it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? The definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid is really that it's your house; it's not the public domain. And then anything that's, you know, that's going to be like Mukaf Mechitzo is going to be set aside as like this is a place of, you know, habitation, and you know, we're a select group of people are going to do whatever it is that they're going to do, even if that's a lot of people. That's fine. That makes it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, so is it that it's Mukaf Mechitzos? Or is that it's set off from everything outside, right? Another way to formulate that is, right, does it need to be surrounded by walls or does it need to be surrounded by barriers? And another way to say it is, right, technically you need walls, right? Practically you need some sort of wall. Are those walls meant to be facing in? Are they for the benefit of the person standing inside? Or are they for the benefit of the person standing on the other side, okay? Let's say you have a semi-permeable membrane. Right. Let's say you have something, right, that lets things in but doesn't let things back out. Right. Let's say you have a one-way wall. Right. So things can come in but they can't get back out. Or let's say things can get out but they can't get in. Right. Or something of that sort. Right. Would we say, oh, that makes it Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Right. Because it's keeping people out. Or do we say, oh, it's, you know, going to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid because the person standing inside is in a house. Right? The fact that the Rabbin could sort of, you know, just flow in without any objection doesn't change things. Okay, so that's our core question at the moment. So when we look at the just like a side point, right, when we saw the Meiri, right, the Meiri we suggested holds that it's really a din in, you don't, he has this line that he says you don't really need mechitzos because you know, you really just need to keep something that is offset from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and keeps the Rabbim out. So he mentions in Erevin that even if you have a city, right, it's surrounded by natural barriers, right, like the ocean or mountains, lo hufku midei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I'll just make this slightly bigger, right, lo hufku midei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right, the world is surrounded by oceans. Umiko makom malos umordo shehin ktsaros ve'id hashmisha noach lebrios. If you have like paths that are very steep and are very difficult to use, in an Rosh Hashanah Rabbim gemura, right? El Rosh Hashanah Rabbim krova lekarmelis mipnei she'inan kedigle midbar. Right. So you have these places that are, you know, are very steep. They're, you know, people travel on them, but they're, you know, they're not actually properly accessible. So it's not that they're not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that they don't meet the requirements, right? The way he formulates it is that in on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim gemura, they're partially Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not 100%, and therefore that's a caramelist. Like, now what's really cool is that really proves the concept that we were trying to bring out from the to suggest for the Rambam and the Meiri, that when we talk about karmelis, is it just something that is, you know, is neither Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Rosh Hashanah Yachid has one definition, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has a different definition, everything else, you know, is okay, that's just neither, it's neither. Or is there this really this concept that the whole world is really broken into Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and karmelis is the Venn diagram area in the middle where, you know, it has part of both. So the Meiri here is really saying that it's not that, oh, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim if it's a karmelis, But this one is a Rosh Hasharabim. It's not a Rosh Hasharabim Gamur. It's a Mixas Rosh Hasharabim. It's a Rosh Hasharabim Krova L'Karmelos, and therefore you're going to be Pater, right? And he even says it is a Rosh Hasharabim, right? It's just a Rosh Hasharabim that's Krova L'Karmelos, and you're going to be Pater because it's not 100% Rosh Hasharabim. It's 75% Rosh Hasharabim, right? So conceptually, that's amazing because it basically says that when we start talking about Karmelos, right? So you think, oh, it's this. It's karma. It's really midrabanan. It's really mutter midaraisa, but midrabanan it's aser. Mir says, yeah, technically speaking, but the reason why it's aser midrabanan is not because like, oh, they were worried about whatever. It's because fundamentally, it's a type of rishas rabim. It's just not a rishas rabim mura. Okay, so you, instead of saying that you have a definition A for rishas rabim, definition B for rishas yachid, and anything that's neither of these is fine. The Rambam and the Miri say that. You have this like spectrum. The world is really just either Rosh Hasharabim or Sarabim, and then you have things that are in the middle of the Venn diagram, which are going to be a Karmelos. You could have something just neither, but in order to do that, it would have to be Makom Ptur, and you have to say that a Makom Ptur is just not a Makom at all, right? Like if you have a pole that's sticking up more than 10 tefachim and it's hanging in the sky, so a helicopter isn't, right? It's flying in the sky. It's not Rosh Hasharabim or Sarabim because it's not Rosh at all. It's just it's flying in the sky. It's Pareach Ba'avi. Okay. Yeah, all right.
It also helps us with defining Rishut Hayachi because we could talk about a spectrum of barrier. So Rishut Rabim, zero barrier at all. Carmelite, somewhat of a barrier because steps are annoying and it, right, it's some barrier for the people to walk there. And then Rishut Yachid is a more complete barrier, a fence or a ditch or a tell or whatever.
Right, exactly. Right. So then you can also, you can begin to say, oh, well, you know, it's got... It's, you know, it's got some of this. It's got enough of a barrier that it's going to say, like, it should have been, it's almost Rosh Hasharabim, but it doesn't have to, you know, be absolutely Rosh Hasharabim in order for us to knock it out of being Rosh Hasharabim. Yeah. And then also, conceptually, you can much more easily say that you have, you know, you have, or that's the opposite. If you have this idea that there's one box of Rosh Hasharabim and one box of Rosh Hasharabim, so A is you could be menatek the two definitions from each other, right? Mi'ari is saying, all right, if within this, so the two definitions are very closely connected to each other, right? The level of barrierness, it brings you on the spectrum between Rosh Hasharabim and Rosh Hasharabim. According to the other side, right, the side that was on this side of the board yesterday, right, that it's about being surrounded by walls to be Rosh Hasharabim. So it could be that Rosh Hasharabim, right, is totally not connected to the question of walls. And then, you know, it's a question of some other criteria. Or, right, it could also be, it could have some sort of similar a way of defining it, but it's not necessarily connected to each other. Right? How you evaluate Rosh Hasharabim and how you evaluate Rosh Hasharabim are two separate questions. Hey, interesting question, though, is going to be what if you have a clash between those? Let's say you have walls, but you also have the structure of Rosh Hasharabim. There's this Rajbo who says that you have a platya that's surrounded by walls, it's still Rosh Hasharabim because it's a Rosh Hasharabim. It's a Rosh Hasharabim that's surrounded by walls, okay. And the Rajbo isn't bothered by that. So, you know, so is that because he thinks that, oh, you know, the definition of Rosh Hasharabim is that it's a place that's moved off from the Rabim, but maybe he thinks the definition of Rosh Hasharabim is, you know, the place where the Rabim are found. And then Mimela, right, if the Rabim are found there, so that's not moved up from the Rabim, even though it's surrounded by walls, right? Now, it happens to be that this place would have been Rosh Hasharabim if the Rabim weren't actually there, right? Because the definition of Rosh Hasharabim is this place is moved up from the Rabim. But since the Rabim are actually there, and it's a platya, so it has the criteria of Rosh Hasharabim, you know, independent of the fact that it also theoretically could have been Rosh Hasharabim. Which also, I think, and I'll just, as a side point, I think this can very can be very relevant to a lot of discussions about modern Erevin. When can you build modern Erevin? Because then our question becomes, how much are we, you know, do we have to acknowledge the realities of, you know, how many people are there and, you know, and like the existence of major roads and how much, or, you know, or like how it functions and how much can we say like, oh yeah, in a Hanami, it could have been Rosh Hasharabim, but it's surrounded by Mechitza, so now it's Rosh Hayachim. Like, doesn't matter what's inside as long as I have those walls and Mela, it's surrounded by walls. Okay. Fine. So that's just a little bit continuing from yesterday. So it's really cool that the Miri says explicitly that Rosh Hasharabim is a spectrum and not two separate definitions. Okay. Now, right, the getting back to the next, like the nafkamina of is the mechitza, right, really internal or external? Right? Where are we measuring the mechitza from? So the Gemara in Gittin, right, actually brings up Machlokas Amoraim, Amar Rav Chisda, Gidur Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, in Mitztarfin. Ad Shiye, O Kulo Mechitza, O Kulo Gidur. Chisda says, in order to have a wall, you need a straight wall. Okay? Meaning, either you need it to be, to have an actual wall of 10, or it could be a pit that's 10 deep, or it could be a tell, right, a pile of dirt that's 10 high, but it all needs to be one continuous entity. Darash Mereimar Gidud Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mitzdarfin V'Hilchasa Mitzdarfin. Right, we paskin that you can combine five vertical and five, five up and five down. Right? You could have a pit of five with the mechitza of five added together to get you 10. Okay, how does that work out though? So Rashi says Gidud Chamisha LeInyan Shabbos to be inan mechitza Gavoa Asara. Oh, amok asara l'rosh sayachid im haya charetz amok chamisha v'kifa mechitza chamisha. So Rashi says we're dealing with the case of what? You have a charetz that's 10 deep, that's 5 deep, and you have a wall on top of it that's 5. Tosfos says inonir alinin tel b'rosh sarabim gavo inami. Really, it's a tel that's gavoa chamisha v'hikif agab of mechitza chamisha l'ochash v'rosh sayachid l'inin Shabbos. Okay. So here is a big difference because, right? One second. Why? So let's draw this out. Right? Rashi and Tosfos, I think, are really arguing on these lines. Rashi says, "Here's okay, this is our Rosh Hashanah. And this is our red color. Okay.
It's hard to hear.
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys play, wait, have you been here before?
I don't think the door has to be open. Just be here for like 10 minutes.
Okay, sorry. Let's go. What did Rashi Tosfos tell? So this is Tosfos. And this is Rashi. Okay, who's saying what?
Or you mind if we just like, because we're trying to watch a shear. Can you use the room right now?
You guys being exiled?
Do you need to use this room?
We're watching.
Okay. So anyway, just right. So Rashi said it's a pit that's 5 deep. Okay, and you have 5 tefach walls on top. Okay. Now, if we draw our dude in here, right? Got a big black hat because he's from right. Yeah, so he doesn't rely on the general Eruv, which is why he's sitting in this pit all Shabbos. Okay, so this guy, right, he's sitting here, and Rashi says, oh, we paskin that he's Gishmak, he's totally fine. Right? Why?
Sorry, can you repeat it?
We lost it for a second.
Yeah, right, so what's Rashi trying to say? How does Rashi seem to understand this? Who do we care about? Who defines it as a sayachid?
The outside world seems to define it. I mean, the outside world only sees.
No, the no, relationship the to the inside, the outside, yeah.
Yeah, it's the hilchata. I mean, backwards.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right? The Yair is talking about Taisus. The Yair is talking about this guy. Right? And he's obviously a spare dude because he's like standing in the
But he's not a hat.
What?
The Robin. He doesn't get a hat.
The Amaral scene.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh, he gets a real hat.
Oh boy.
Okay. He got a stat. He's actually got a stat. Okay. He's saying, what's he saying? What makes it Rishus Hayachid?
He sees the other.
Okay, one second. We'll back up for a second, right? According to Rashi, right? We care about it from the guy standing inside. You need 10 tefachim from the guy standing inside to say he's in his kanze bayi, kanze lev, right? Give him a little heart. Right? It's a house, so he needs to be surrounded by walls. I don't care about what the people outside think, right? Who cares about the outside world? Tosu says it's 5 high and another 5 over here. Now, is the guy standing here going to be surrounded by mechitzos?
No.
No, right? Pasha's not. So what? So why do I care? What do I need?
It's to the Rabbim, what the Rabbim see.
Exactly, right? Gandalf sees the mechitzos. And what does Gandalf then say?
It's a place of the Yachid.
Right. Oh, okay. But more importantly, what does he say?
You shall not pass.
Or really, the wall says. Right. The wall tells Gandalf, "You shall not pass." Is this a nice, comfy home? No, right? Whoever's inside this Rishus Hayachid has no walls. This is not a comfy place to live, right? But it definitely can tell Gandalf, "You shall not pass." So says Tosfos, what? Where do we want the walls? We want the walls on the outside, right? We don't necessarily need walls on the inside. Okay? Now this is critical. This is very, very chashuv, right? Because that's exactly the nafkamina between the two sides of our chakira, right? Are the walls meant to enclose the area, or are the walls meant to keep the rabbim out, to keep the Rishus HaRabbim from invading? I know you froze. You froze again.
Doesn't Tosfos say that they're both Rishus Hayachids?
I don't think so. I just checked the whole thing of Tosfos. But Tosfos has a problem with Rashi, and Tosfos says his preferred solution seems to be that this is a Rishus Hayachid, but this is not. I'll have to look over Tosfos again, but I'm pretty sure that Rashi says, yeah, this is great. Tosfos says, no, that's not correct. Right, because then the rabbim they only have a mechitza of 5, right? And he brings like a very complex, so then he says, oh, this is really, I think. I have to look at the whole Tosfos again, right? But I think also in this direction, Rashi will definitely say no to this, right? Now it could be, you could argue, since the rabbin would like all trip and die, then maybe like you count this as mechitza klapei chutz, or even in here you could say maybe we'll say good asik, and therefore you really are mukav mechitzos even inside here, right? So it's not impossible to say both, but the fact that right Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi says the Gemara really is talking about this, and the Tosfos no, the Gemara is really talking about this, right? Just really emphasize this idea that. Right? Who do we really want when we talk about mechitzos? Are we really talking about the guy inside, or are we really talking about the guy outside? Okay, so that's the so that's one very geshmak nafkamina, right? Where do we really want these mechitzos? What? Okay. Okay. The next question, the next nafkamina. Is going to be the avir of Rishus Hayachid. Okay, the Gemara says that Rishus Hayachid is tofes ad l'rakia. Right? The airspace of Rishus Hayachid goes, to the sky, to outer space, while that of Rishus Rabbim only goes till 10 tefachim high. Okay, so why? So Rashi says the reason why Rishus HaRabim only goes till Asarat Tvachim is because Lo Sholti BaRabim Yoser, right? Havi Avira BaAlma Makum Tur. Okay, the Rabim, where are the Rabim found? Where are they Rabiming? In the Rishus HaRabim. So anything above the 10 Tvachim of the Rishus HaRabim don't really count. Okay, but Rishus HaYachid is Holechad L'Rakia. Kol avir shekineged rishus hayachid bein avir chatzir bein avir amod rishus harabim gavoa asar v'rachav arba kinegdo ad lakia shem rishus hayachid alav. Now that's a little bit unclear. What does he mean by that? When he says shem rishus hayachid alav, is he mean that it's like in a formal sense, right? Like the definition of rishus hayachid is applies because it's got a din rishus hayachid. So that's a little bit. I think that's like a little bit of an interesting a definition. What Rashi says in the Rishus HaRabim, Delo Sholti BaRabim, right? That we define the extension of Rishus HaRabim based on where the Rabim actually, right, are and what they actually use and where they actually have control over, basically. As opposed to Rishus HaYachid, not that, oh, because in Rishus HaYachid you do whatever you want, but because there's Shem Rishus HaYachid, okay? On the other hand, the Aruch HaShulchan gives like a cool, he says, oh, well, a very good reason why there's a difference. Why? Right? So he says, by Rishus HaRabim, the Rabim control what? Right? You can't, I don't know, start building a watchtower in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. Right? So you're confined to the surface of the road. Right? You're on the highway. You're allowed to drive on the highway. You're not allowed to build a treehouse in the middle of the highway. Okay, but Rishus HaYachid, you could build whatever you want. So, of course, you're also in control over the airspace. You're also able to use the airspace. Right? You're allowed to use the surface of the road. You're not allowed to build stuff above ground, right? Okay. Now, what's cool, right? According to Aruch HaShulchan, what parameter do we use? Right? The parameters that we use according to Aruch HaShulchan is very straightforward. Right? We use, let's say, Avir.
Shaychus.
Right? We use that, right? Like, Shaychus Shlita. And the parameters used to determine is, shaychus, let's say, right? Who gets to use it? Okay? So Rashi says that's, so when it comes to that, this is true about Rishus HaRabim. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, right? Because this is, right, everything. And this is only the surface. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan uses one consistent metric, and he says, okay, everything depends on Shaychus, right? And then the question is, Rishus HaRabim, you only have shaychus to the surface, right? Rishus HaYachid, you could build whatever you want, right? Because you can build, you can do whatever. Why does Rashi only use the metric of shaychus when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, right? But he says, shame Rishus, right? Which is what Rashi says for Rishus HaYachid. Rashi's switching criteria on me. Why is he doing that? So I think the answer is this is Rashi is great because it's Rashi Lashitasa. Right? What did Rashi tell us before? Rashi said that there are two separate questions of how do we define Rishuyos. There's a question of how to define Rishus HaRabim. That has one parameter. And Rishus HaYachid is a totally separate definition. Right? It's a totally different Rishus with different parameters, which uses different metrics. So when it comes to defining Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the question is, how is it used, right? Are the Rabbim Nimtza? Because Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is defined by the Tzias HaRabbim, right? But Rosh Hashanah Yachid is defined by what?
It's
the Tzias of the Rabbim, the Drisas HaRabbim, right? The fact that that's the Sratya and the Platya was Shishim Ribo, Bokim Sham, Nimtza Sham HaRabbim, right? Rabbim Nimtza Sham, Rabbim Nimtza and Sham. Right? How does he define Rosh Hashanah Yachid, though?
If it's a home.
Right. And therefore, what? If the whole, everything that's enclosed by the four walls, right, is enclosed and now Mugdar as my private domain. That's not limited to 10 Tvachim. I enclose this area. This whole area is mine. Right? So therefore, right, the Avir above your home is also part of your domain. It's also part of the area that you're living in. Right? So therefore, of course, it's not a question of who has Shaychus / Shlita there, right? Who's using it? I'm not going to define it by how you use it. I'm going to define it by, right, by the Shem Rishas, right? The whole area is Mugaf, and I defined it, I was Magdir it as my home. And Mugdar Kibesa. Right? So Rashi is Gishmak, because Rashi says, yeah, Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have two separate metrics. They're two separate concepts, right? And when I ask about what's Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, two different questions. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying, well, why would I use two separate metrics in terms of determining Rishuyos? So instead, he says, yeah, everything's a question of Shaychos. And then, right, the question just becomes, right, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has Shaychos to one area. And Shlaram has Shaychus only to the surface. Shlayachid has Shaychus, right, as far as he wants to build.
We got it.
You got it? You guys just, do you hear me? Or
Rose, but we got it.
I think we got it.
I understand.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's the second Nafkamina. Now, let's just finish. Oh yeah, okay. Just like just to continuing this theme, the Yushalmi has this like very interesting line, right? Minayin lemalim yud shu rishus acheres, and then it goes in and says, oh, because you see from basically the Shechina and the Aron that the Shechina and Akash Baruch Hu are shamayim laHashem, and they never yored mitachas la'asar tvachim, right? So you see that like the Shechina is like Asara is Lamala Me Asara, and above Asara to be considered the Shamayim. Okay. And there and Rav Yaakov Bar Acha Amar Dbisriana, right? Chad Yalfla Min Aron, Harni Yalfla Min Agalos. Okay, one of them learns it from the Agalos. And one of them learns it from the Aron and this idea of Hashem's, Shamayim Shamayim Lasha. So I understand why we'd learn it out from the Agalos. Why would you learn it out from the Aron? Right? It's very bizarre. So I think the solution to that would be, right, if you're learning out from the Agalos, so it's a question of Shemesh HaRabim. So I learned that Rosh Hashanah HaRabim goes to Asar HaTvachim because that's where the Rabim are actually Mishamesh, right? That's where the stuff is actually, people are actually walking. Right, and anything above that is not shayach, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you use it like the Aruch Shulchan. But when it's talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only going to go up to Asar Tvachim, right? Because Rosh Hashanah only goes till Asar Tvachim, right? Lamala Me'asara is a different Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but if Lamala Me'asara is a different Rosh Hashanah, why isn't that true also in Rosh Hashanah Yachid? And I think the answer has to be that in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's a totally different type of Rosh Hashanah. Right, it's not a Rosh Hashanah because it's a natural area. Right? Rosh Hashanah is a natural area, basically, according to this. Right, so it's an open area. Oh, that's a natural area. Is this that's open to the public. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a positive definition of I was makif it. I turned it into a house. It's mukafar b'machitzos, and now it's mugdar as a separate area. So that whole area that I was magdir is mine. Right, it's part of that definition. Okay. The Ramban has like an interesting similarity to that, a similar idea, but he actually applies it in a very different way. Okay? The Ramban, I'm going to switch the order. The Rambam says, and Reb Chaim points this out, is that you need that Avir Rosh HaSeyachit writes Ola Adurakia. And he says this even in cases where we don't say Good Asik. Okay? And Reb Chaim explains that even though we're not saying Good Asik, and it's not Mukaf, you know, the error space isn't Mukaf Machitzos, but that's fine because what makes the Avir part of Rosh HaSeyachit is that that's part of the definition of Rosh HaSeyachit, right? As opposed to Rosh HaSarabim. Rosh HaSarabim is only Sholeit Atah Asara, but by definition, Rosh HaSeyachit is, right, encapsulates the whole area. The Ramban suggests something else. The Ramban says, no, what makes a Rosh HaSeyachit Ad L'Rakia, Av Rosh HaSeyachit Nami Lo Hevi, Dechi Amrino Rosh HaSeyachit Ola Ad L'Rakia, we only say that if it's surrounded by walls. But if you have like a tail, like a bump of dirt that's 10 tefachim high, that's not going to be olad l'rakia. Why not? That's not mukaf machitzos, right? So what the Ramban basically does is there are two types of Rosh HaSeyachid. There's Rosh HaSeyachid that's surrounded by clear walls. And then that's going to be Adlorakia, and separately, there's a chatzer, there's a tail, there's like a bump of dirt, which is just a yachid, but it's not going to be ola adlorakia. Now, I think you have two ways to explain it. The way the Rashba explains it is the chiamrina rishus yachid ola adlorakia hani mili rishus yachid gemura b'mechitzos kigon chatzer aval amud lo. Right? He says because what? It's because of the because it's a rishus yachid gamur that has mechitzos. And has Rosh HaSeyachid Gamor with Mechitzos, that's a different type of Rosh HaSeyachid, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like, is that really fundamentally, there are two types of Rosh HaSeyachid, right? If it's Mukaf Mechitzos, that's Abayit. And if it's not Mukaf Mechitzos, it's just Muvdal from Rosh HaSarabim, that's Rosh HaSeyachid, but it's a second level Rosh HaSeyachid. Right. The alternative, the way that's what it sounds like. The Rashba thinks the Meiri says, "Oh, Shemalo Amru Avir Shesiachet Ola El Mechitzos Hanikaros Mitam Good Asik." Right. It's not that Rosh Hashayachid goes to the sky, but since we say Good Asik, the walls of Rosh Hashayachid go to the sky. In which case, up to the sky is actually surrounded by the walls. Right. There are imaginary walls that go up all the way up. So anything that's in between those walls is still inside the walls. So of course it's just a yachid, right? If you have a case where you wouldn't say good asik because the mechitzos aren't nikar, right? We have certain parameters when we'll say good asik and when we won't. So then the Rosh HaSeyachid won't go up, right? So then it's more of a practical difference, right? It needs to be inside the mechitzos. There's nothing different between Rosh HaSeyachid and Rosh HaSarabim fundamentally. Happens to be the Rosh HaSeyachid, right? Very often we'll have imaginary walls that go up to the sky, so it'll obviously extend as far as the walls go, right? Okay, and that again just brings us to this question. According to the Rashba's way of reading the Ramban, it sounds like there are really two types of Rosh HaSeyachid, right? There's Rosh HaSeyachid as a house surrounded by mechitzos. And there's Rosh HaSeyachid as something that's moved out from the Rosh HaSarabim. According to the Meiri's way of reading it, fundamentally Rosh HaSeyachid and Rosh HaSarabim are very similar, right? They're really going to be the same concept of Rosh HaS, right? And maybe even like the Yushalmi, you could say, Rosh HaS only goes to the 10th Vachim. Here, you just happen to have the walls of the Rosh HaS going all the way up, so it's inside the walls. Okay. And then finally, just to hop in one last shita, Rabbeinu Prakya, and the Shita Kadmonim talks about Chori Rosh HaYachid and Chori Rosh HaSarabim. And he basically says, okay, well, why in Rosh HaYachid do we say like the drawers and the, you know, like the closets are all counted as part of Rosh HaYachid, no matter how big they are? While in Rosh HaSarabim, we don't, right? If you have like a little window, if you have like a little ledge in Rosh HaSarabim where people can, you know, put stuff, right? But it's like inset into the wall, a little niche in the wall. Why isn't that Rosh HaSarabim? It would be by part of Rosh HaSeyachid. So he says, Shkivan shemin ha-reshus ha-yachid shiyu bo chadarim v'geniza, kula nechnalim b'tor reshus ha-yachid, lefikach shamudin chor reshus ha-yachid k'reshus ha-yachid, reshus ha-rabim in ha-minag yelios bo mekomos miyuchadim klal. Right? The whole point is that reshus ha-rabim is not a place where people have special, private little niches. So therefore, darko lios derech achas yishara. The whole point is that it's one big highway, right? It's one big open area. So the whole idea is, what makes a reshus ha-yachid is dafka. So you have two ways of reading this, okay? Either he's saying that the reshus ha-yachid is like a home, and therefore it includes everything that's part of a house, which includes storage space, as opposed to reshus ha-rabim, which is a thoroughfare or a marketplace, which isn't a place of storage. It's a place of moving around and doing stuff. That's one way to read it. I think al pisvar, that's what I would have expected. I think what he's actually saying is coming from the opposite direction, right? Because he uses the lashon, didn't say like, oh, shem reshus hayachid. He says shem min ha reshus hayachid, right? Is to be this way. And the reshus harabim, it's not the minhag to have makomos miyuchados. The whole usage of reshus harabim is that it's supposed to be open and free-flowing. So I think dafka for the Rabbeinu Prachya, he's taking the side that it's about how of shimush, of use by the rabbim, right? As opposed to use by only to the yachid. The yachid uses dafka the chorim. The rabbim dafka, it's not, you know, a place about using these niches, right? That's not a public usage of it. So then it's really not going by the shame of the area and it being mugdar, being defined by having mechitzos, but it's about who does it serve? What does it? What purpose and what usage does it actually practically serve? Is it a makom rabbim, or is it a makom that's offset from the rabbim and used by the yachid? So I think the lashon of like minhag definitely puts us more in the functional direction rather than like a more of a structural argument. And that's just what this all comes down to. Again, is this idea of what you have? Oh, you guys disappeared again. You have rishus ha. You have one way to define reshus ha-yachid, right? It's about being a bias to mukaf arba mechitzos. The other way to define it is that it's a place that's moved out from the reshus ha-rabim. And in terms of its relationship to reshus ha-rabim, right? It could be, right? Fundamentally, reshus ha-yachid and reshus ha-rabim are on a spectrum, right? They're directly pushing and pulling in a zero-sum game. Or they're really two totally separate questions, right? There's a definition for reshus ha-rabim. There's a definition for reshus ha-yachid. They're really operating with different parameters. One's about it being mukaf as a house. The other is it a public domain, a highway, a plaza, things like that. And those are using two different metrics, right? And then those nafkaminas are, how do we define the walls? Do we want the walls to be internal or external? Are they about keeping people out or keeping you in? Is it going to be defined by our usage habits or by the architecture? And in terms of, say, Avir, right, how much is it going to be a question of how was it used, or is it going to be a question of, how it's defined, how it's being legally set aside, as opposed to practically how you're using it?